looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show that talks about all the good things that you need to be doing in your garden and your landscaping and pest control and all that kind of thing. And we'd love to chat with you. You can call and be on the show at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. We've had a lot of conversation on Facebook and direct on dirtdoctor.com this week and everything about organophobia specifically. And it's really interesting. Some people have really taken offense to that being me calling people names. It's almost like we've got a lot of new listeners who've never heard that term before. That's a term that I coined over 25 years ago, and we'll talk about it today, talk about that term and some other related kinds of things. There's a lot of chat going on about it on our Facebook page. If you want to go there and check it out, it's facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor, and we'll get into all that and a bunch of related kinds of things as well. First of all, I need to tell you that this hour is brought to you by Victor Dog Food, victordogfood.com. And wonderful products. Cat food they make is wonderful, as well as the dog foods. They use no chemical preservatives at all. There's none in their plant. There's none in their processing to make any products that they make. That's huge and extremely unusual. They also use no corn, soy, wheat, or gluten in any of their products, and that's also just extremely unusual, and one of the reasons I like them so much. They do use preservatives. They use preservatives that are the natural, non-toxic kinds of things that we approve of, instead of the toxic things like BHA, BHT, methoxyquin, and the kind of preservatives that a lot of companies still use, at least in some of their products. And we like the fact that there's none there. We also like the fact that they have a line of grain-free products. They have some that do have grain, and then they have some that don't. So you can go either way you want to go there. So check it out, victordogfood.com. If you haven't tried the Victor products with your pets yet, I recommend it highly. They bring you the SPCA dog of the week, and got good news. Last week, Cabbage Rose was adopted, so we're doing a little bit better job lately here. Appreciate the help. This week, it's a good-looking guy, too. Gunter, one-year-old male, 59-pound Labrador mix, and says his owners are moving, can't take him on the trip for some reason, loves to be loved on. All he wants his petting and scratching, loves riding a car. He's okay with other dogs, been neutered, microchipped, and had all his appropriate age-appropriate vaccinations. So come in and meet Gunter. He's in Dallas. He's at the Dallas SPCA, just west of downtown Dallas, the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center. Good-looking guy. You can see his picture on our website on dirtdoctor.com. So check it out there, and we appreciate the help. Thanks very much. My tea is interesting this morning. Very good. It's a tea that you can buy commercially, or you can make it yourself. I do both, and I'll sometimes use a commercial brand and then spike it up with some local honey and various other ingredients. But today's tea is blackberry leaves. And by the way, pretty much all of the berries, blackberries, raspberries, dewberries, all of the berries in general, and all this information is on our website in the library under the appropriate titles there. But all berry leaves, for the most part, are great in herb teas, and blackberry leaves are one of the best. So we have blackberries this morning, lemongrass, rose hips and petals, orange peeling, and always use organic ones, of course, when you're doing that. And have them cleaned off. Even when you buy organic stuff at the store, probably even if you pick organic produce or fruit out of your own garden, it's a good idea to clean the fruit, even though it's organic, because you don't know what animals have been around, what people's hands have been on the different things. So, you know, just use some common sense. Use something like BioWash or Citrus Magic or some kind of a citrus or hydrogen peroxide works great, anything like that to clean off the outside of the fruit and vegetables. Remember that if you're buying conventionally grown stuff or if you use the toxic chemicals in your own garden, washing the outside might help a little bit, but it doesn't eliminate the toxic properties at all, because they'll be inside. They'll be inside in the throughout the fruit or vegetable, and that's why we don't recommend it. Other ingredients in the tea this morning are spearmint, turmeric. I use turmeric a lot. Turmeric on my eggs this morning. I've fried some eggs and had turmeric or turmeric, however you pronounce it. As well as a little salt and pepper, cooked in real butter and also coconut oil. What I've gotten to the point of doing, and I really like it, I use coconut oil to cook my various kinds of things, but especially breakfast when I do eggs in the morning. And whether I'm going to fry them or scramble them, I pretty much use the same thing. Coconut oil first, and then I add a little real butter. And you know, try to get some grass-fed butter, and you can't always do that. So get as clean of stuff as you can. It makes a very nice combination of flavor, but also it doesn't stick as badly. I was having trouble with the eggs sticking when I used just coconut oil, and I changed over to mixing a little butter in with it, and it doesn't stick anymore. I have no idea what's going on there, but it seems to work pretty well, and the flavor is great. Back to my tea. The other ingredients are hibiscus flowers. And on the hibiscus and any big flower, any medium to large flowers, pretty important for you just to pull the petal off and don't use, you know, the center part, the reproductive part, the green part, the back of the flower and all that, just the petal. You can get some bitter taste, and there's even a little bit of toxicity in some flowers that are edible. So be a little careful with that. Just to be sure, just use the petals. And there's some ginger and licorice in there, so it's a good tea. It's really nice, so give that a shot whenever you have time. Well, let's see what else we needed to do before we get into this other stuff. Yeah, organophobia popped up. It all started when I got there was an article out of the Seattle paper about the data backing up the thing that we've been talking about for a long time, that there's heavy metals in synthetic fertilizers a lot of times, and some of the heavy metals are really nasty things. There's really strange laws and regulations about what can go in the fillers in fertilizers. Basically, it's not controlled at all. And it's a good way for some companies to get rid of some really nasty things, and you end up getting lead and arsenic and cadmium and all sorts of things in fertilizers. And this article looked into that and was reporting the fact that it's a significant source of heavy metals in our food supply. It comes from fertilizers, and I made a comment about here's some information for you organophobes. And organophobes and organophobia, like I said, is a word that I coined. It was at least 25 years ago, maybe longer ago than that. And I wrote an article about it, what makes an organophobe. And the way it started was when I started learning about organic gardening, farming, ranching in the late 80s and early 90s, it just hit me like somebody hit me upside the head with a 2x4 about how much sense it made and how well it worked when I tried it. And I specified it on landscape projects right away. I had that ability. It's one of the reasons that we were able to make as much progress early on as we did, because I was in the landscape architecture business and I was writing specifications for commercial and residential landscape projects, and I was able to write organic techniques, organic procedures into the projects. And I'll be completely honest with you, in the early days, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. We were making some very educated guesses about certain things, which would be the best kinds of products and frequencies and rates to use on various size projects. And we lucked out. It all worked. And what fell out in front of us was there's a lot of tolerance. There's a lot of leeway there, what works and doesn't work. And we got to the point of fine-tuning it then. We'll talk about it when we want to come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Continuing what I was talking about how the term organophobia got going, and then we'll go to the phones here real quickly, and I'll work in talk about Epsom salts that came up this week and some other things as we have time. But as I was saying, when we first started learning about doing organic techniques and having success, we started asking the question that I get asked all the time, and that's, why isn't the whole industry doing this? And there's a lot of reasons, and I thought, well, I'll just write a kind of an essay about it. And I wrote an essay about what is organophobia, those who oppose organic techniques, what basically the term means. And we had several points. It has evolved over a period of years. I think I had it in one of my books is where it first appeared, and then we revised it and put it into a newsletter some years ago. But what organophobia is, and some of the people have been commenting on Facebook and adding some points that I thought were pretty good too. But in my original essay, number one is understanding organic techniques. You'll find when you talk to people that use the synthetic approach that they don't understand the organic approach. They don't understand the organic techniques and the products and so forth. It's not taught in any universities is one of the reasons. I was talking to a grass contractor a couple of days ago, and I asked him if he was doing any organic treatment. He said, no, none at all. I don't know anything about it. He said, all I use is Scotts. He said, I don't have anything against it. I just don't know anything about it. And that's fairly common, I guess, because the people in the industry, their peers, are doing the high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers and the toxic pesticides, Roundup and 2,4-D and all those things that we don't recommend. And so they do too. There's a comfort there. And that's one of the points, really. Number two point in my essay, though, is profit from chemical sales. And that makes sense. I mean, if you're making money, if your livelihood depends on, you know, those kinds of products and techniques, that makes you an organophobe in a lot of cases. Another reason for organophobia is paradigm problems. And paradigm problems are simply in your world, these things exist. These things are real. These things are facts and truth. And these things over here are blurry and messy and not part of your world, not part of your paradigm. It's just one of the most powerful things there is getting people to change the paradigm that they're currently using and working under. Number four is a fear of standing alone. This is very powerful. People like to be part of the group that's doing whatever they're doing. I see it in the country club I'm involved in. I see it in various business situations. I see it all over the place with my friends and relatives and everything. People don't like being mavericks. They want to do what everybody else is doing. There's a comfort level there. So that's one of the causes of organophobia, not a fear of standing alone. And you have to. The people that have gone organic, taken commercial projects organic and things like that, it's been fascinating for me to see through the years. It's always 100% been a situation where the boss called the shot, pulled the trigger, said, we're going to do it. There's no other way it can be done. And that means that you have to take the responsibility. That person has to take the responsibility. They can't blame some university if it doesn't work, or some extension agent, or the master gardeners, or the industry associations. They are responsible. Or they can say, we're going to blame the dirt doctor. He's the one that talked us into doing it. So you see what I mean? That's a very powerful reason for organophobia. Number five, the inability, this one may be the most important one of all, the inability to admit being wrong. How many of you out there can admit being wrong? Oh, put your hands down. You're not right. Yeah, some of you can. The organic people for sure can admit being wrong, and we do it all the time. We come up, and I think that drives people nuts. When I was in the landscape architecture business, my primary duty was to do rough conceptual preliminary plans, and I'd do them in sketch form. I would give them to the people working for me to put them in neater order and color, and make presentations to the customer, to the clients. I would always do more than one, and I was kind of surprised that the industry that wasn't the case. And I had problems with employees a lot of times who would take one of the preliminary designs, kind of fall in love with it and go that route, and I'd be thinking about it overnight and come in the next day with a whole new idea and say, put this one together too, and let's show both of them. And there was a lot of resistance to that. They had already taken some ownership in the first design, and they may have one that they designed that they thought was more important. And to go into working drawings and start making changes because we saw that here's a better way to do this walkway or this circulation system or move this tennis court or swimming pool a little bit or whatever, and have to redo those drawings. They didn't like it. They didn't adjust to it. Some did, but I just saw a very strong pattern there that there was a resistance to change. And then that's the last one. Those are the points about organophobia. We're going to talk more about that throughout the day today, but we got people holding to talk about other things, so we'll do that too. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to discuss at 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We're going to get some phone calls answered here, and then I'll get back to how I got into this conversation with people who maybe had never heard the term organophobia. In a little bit, we'll talk about it in a little more detail for you. But first is David in Georgetown, Georgia. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Oh, good. Hey, I just wanted to know how far back can I trim a fig tree?
Why do you want to do it?
It's big.
It's just too in the way?
Well, we can't pick all the figs. They just, sour and... It's so tall
can't get
and
to them.
Big.
Well, the answer is you can prune it back pretty hard. We have a fig tree that's gigantic. I've shown pictures of it on the website and on Facebook that's right around the corner from our house. It's the biggest one I've ever seen, and the people cut it back to a nub every year, and it grows back, and it's just as happy-looking as it can be. It doesn't produce as large and as good a fruit as it would if it were allowed to grow big. But I see your point. If the figs are 20 feet up in there, it makes it pretty tough to harvest them. So the answer is you can cut them back pretty severely. You could probably cut figs back just like you do apples and train them into an espalier traveling laterally on a fence or something, and they would handle that situation fine. So you can prune them back as much as you want. Will it stress the plant and maybe lead to some problems? It's possible. But I think that figs, from my experience of watching this one that's just cut back unmercifully near our house, and doesn't bother it at all.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I appreciate the call, David. Thanks for checking in with us. Mary in Dallas is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Let me get you the speaker. We have planted about 10 years ago three hollies, the East Pole. I don't know how to pronounce
East Palatka.
East Palatka hollies, uh-huh. In a small, narrow area.
It's one of my favorite hollies.
I know. I've read about it, and I've had an article about 10 years ago when we planted them, when you said do this to the soil before you plant it. I'd given it to the landscaper, and he kind of poo-pooed me. And anyway, we removed some pool deck. It's in a small, narrow area between the fence and the pool where mm-hmm. we removed the deck, and we sit on pretty rocky ground anyway, which I think may not be so good for them, but planted with them is some Asian jasmine and Indian hawthorns. Anyway, these trees have pretty much, I think, struggled quite a bit. They're not real full. They lose leaves. The leaves are not as big and green as they, most of them that I see are, and they just don't seem to have grown at the rate that they should have. So I was wondering, is there anything at this point that we can do to help?
Did you plant these yourself?
No, we had a landscaper planted.
Okay. The chances are pretty good that they came in containers where we were planting. They're pretty notorious about having circling and girdling roots and being
They do.
Okay.
Should I remove the jasmine? I try to keep the jasmine. They're off of the roots to give them a little bit more.
Yes, definitely. And you probably can do some pretty dramatic work to the base of this tree and make some significant improvement. The roots are probably in a big wad, would be my guess, Mary.
Uh-huh.
And so what you do, it may be so bad that you can't be successful here and you have to start over with some trees that, have healthier roots, but let's give this a try. Get the ground cover taken away, and how tall are these trees?
I'm going to say they're probably 15.
Okay, so they're pretty good sized trees.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, let's take at least 3 feet of the ground cover away from the base of the tree and then just start working. If you don't call out an arborist like Moore Tree that specializes in air spade and that kind of work and you want to do it yourself, what you'll have to do is using gloves and stiff brushes like a horse brush, just start slowly taking the soil away. You can use a power washer and use water if you're careful doing it. A power washer, if you get the nozzle too close to roots, you can do damage to the roots and to the flare.
Uh-huh.
But start getting taking the soil away, and you're probably going to see a lot of circling, a lot of girdling, maybe some bird's nests, roots trying to grow up toward the oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Take all that off. It'll worry you that you're hurting the tree, but it doesn't. It does just the opposite. The more you take off, the more of a sigh you're going to feel coming from that tree that you're relieving the problem that has caused the stress that's making it not be as healthy as it can be. Now, I'll be the first to admit that an East Palatka holly or Savannah holly or any of those kind of hollies would really prefer to be living in East Texas in sandy soil.
And I remember reading that you had said that in this article in the Dallas Morning News, and I gave it to the landscaper because it said, do this to the soil before you plant them, because it'll have a higher.
But they didn't do a very good job of it. It sounds like so we're going to have to do it, after the fact. Uh-huh. They will grow in rocky soils. I've seen extreme. In fact, the largest one I've ever seen, East Palatka, is growing in our part of Dallas, in Lakewood. And Lakewood has a little bit of black soil on the top, and then it's white, chalky limestone rock under that, and then shale under that. So they can adapt to that kind of soil, but the root system has to be not in a wad. and be healthy and be hydrated and be, you know, fed with organic fertilizers and stuff, which you probably are already doing. But if the root system is in physical trouble, which it sounds like it is here, you got to fix that or it's never going to do any good. So get with it, and don't be too shy about being aggressive in pruning off those circling and damaged roots that are cutting in, roots that are growing straight up and look like spaghetti, and get it. Try to soak, you know, as much water down in there and Garrett juice down into that ball as you can. Hydrate that root system just like we would do it in a container before we planted as an ideal thing, but now that it's already in the ground, we got to try to fix it while it's in the ground.
Do you think that it's a never-ending problem that there's not a lot of soil there?
No, I think that if you have good soil on the surface, you know, in the beds around the plants, I think you can turn them around. I think it's just a physical problem with the roots is what's causing your issues.
Okay.
You can see Savannah hollies, which are harder to grow than East Palatka's, at the Texas Discovery Gardens at Fair Park. There's some big, beautiful ones there. And again, that's in the part of Dallas that has, you know, rocky soils and very highly alkaline soils.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give it a shot. Thank you so much.
Keep me posted.
Okay, bye.
All right, Dan is next, University Park. What's going on?
Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
I'm just calling you to get your opinion on some live oak problems I've been having here. And I've got one in my front yard, one in my backyard, and the one in my backyard seems to be okay. So I'm going to focus on this front yard one. What I notice is I've got a circular drive there, and I go out every once in a while. I notice that there's a pile of bark, like, laying on my driveway.
Right.
And we got jillions of squirrels, let me tell you. So, and I hate the little varmints. But this one is throwing me off because looking up in the tree, I've noticed, gosh, I don't know. I can look up there and see maybe 10 branches that are dying. And this week I had two that I cut down, and I took a look at it, and I started looking at this thing, and the bark had been chewed all the way around the stem of this thing, maybe for 12 inches.
Yeah. What's going on?
Never had that happen before.
Well, it's fairly common, Dan, and the deal is it's the same kind of scenario when you have sapsuckers pecking holes in trees. The tree, for whatever reason, is in stress.
Okay.
And when a tree is in stress, it concentrates complex carbohydrates, sugars, in an attempt to help mitigate the problem, to help the tree get healthier. But in the meantime, rodents, mice, rats, rabbits, squirrels, very commonly, can detect that concentration of sugars, and they come in and they work on that. You can see, I've got a picture. I need to dig out and do a newsletter with it sometime. I've got a picture of two live oaks that are together on a golf course. One of them has squirrel damage all up in it, the big brown spots just like you're seeing.
Uh-huh.
And the other one right beside it doesn't have one bit of damage. You look at the base of both trees, guess what you see? The one with the damage is too deep in the ground.
Okay.
The flare's not exposed.
Yeah.
So that's your first step in calling an arborist out to see if, you know, there's anything else that they can determine. It can be that there's toxic contamination in the soil. It can be that there's too much or too little water, too much or too little fertilizer. Usually too little fertilizer is not the case because trees are very efficient at getting nutrients out of really lousy soil. But the main cause that I run into over and over again is the flares too deep in the ground. And you fix that, and the rodents go feed on some other plant somewhere. I had it happening on a great big Japanese maple at my house in a pot, and it dawned on me, duh, I had the tree too deep in the soil in the pot. I took it out. I removed about 6 inches of soil, replanted it in a bigger pot, and I've never had that damage again.
Let me ask you this, Howard. I figured that you'd probably say this tree is in stress, and I've been kind of thinking about that, too. These last ice storms,
yeah,
we've lost big, big limbs off of this thing. It always gets hit. The one in my rear yard has never had any damage, very little. But the one in the front, in fact, this last ice storm we had, we lost a big, like, 12-inch limb from the top, and it ripped bark down for about 3 feet. You know, it just stripped it down. It was up high.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can have more ice damage on a tree that is stressed to begin with, and then once there's a lot of ice damage on a plant, that can be a contributor to the stress in the plant. But
yeah.
I think if you'll just expose the base dramatically, you know, a lot more than you would have thought to do. Look at some of the pictures of what I've done on the trees in my backyard, how dramatically the flares are exposed, and you can get rid of the rodent problem. I'm going to have to go. Let me put you on hold if you had something else real quick, and I'll chat with you in a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. We'll do a couple more calls and then get back to a little conversation we started at the beginning of the show. Mike in Midlothian next. Hey, Mike.
Yes, I was in my backyard when they built our house. They brought in clay soil, and when it gets real dry, you can see deep cracks and things. And when I water it, it's green. It looks good now, but when the heat comes, it just, what kind of put down at first? I haven't really put any kind of fertilizer down.
Well, what you need to do to make it happen the fastest, Mike, would be to get some Garrett juice. Either make it yourself with my formula or get one of the commercial products and add hydrogen peroxide to it. In this case, you could add anywhere from 16 to 32 ounces per gallon of the Garrett juice mixture. It could be added in addition to it, or it could replace that much water in the mixture. Because you can put it out pretty strong in this particular case. And what you do is you spray across the entire place, and that hydrogen peroxide causes a flocculation beginning of the soil. It starts to make a fluffiness, and the Garrett juice along with it fires up the microbes, and everything moves along the right direction. In addition to that, if your budget and time allow, put lava sand out at about – oh, anywhere from 80 to 150 pounds per thousand square feet, you know, of volcanic rock sand.
Mm-hmm.
And then start using organic fertilizers like Maestro Grow or one of the other alfalfa-based products that you can find at the stores out there. And you'll see as you use these organic techniques that black clay soil will not only change texture and be better to work in and everything, it'll change color. It'll look completely different. There's some pretty dramatic shots in our Organic Management for the Professional book of soil that was before and after organic treatments were used. So it's just going organic that does it, but the Garrett juice and the hydrogen peroxide will speed it all up for you right on the front end.
Okay. Do you still recommend cottonseed meal and all that?
It's okay. I like alfalfa meal better. The various meals that don't tend to have as many chemicals sprayed on them. See, alfalfa can't have the broadleaf herbicide sprayed on it because it's broadleaf. Other plants have, well, of course, cotton is too, but cotton uses, you know, a lot of chemicals in the process. Alfalfa doesn't quite as much. So, and it's got some properties that really are good for plants and soil, so go with one of them that has at least some alfalfa in it, or just use some alfalfa meal by itself.
Okay.
All right.
Now, on the lava sand, someone was telling me, because we're in that concrete capital of the world, you know, there where they said don't add sand to our soil because the calcium or something, it'll just make it harder.
They don't know what they're talking about. Lava sand adds the property of holding moisture longer and does a lot of other things. It doesn't cause any problems at all. It just improves things.
That's
give it a try. You'll love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Just real quick before this hour ends, and we'll talk more next hour, a lot of the way this all started on Facebook about me talking about the organophobes need a little bit of information was there's always this criticism thrown out that what we recommend, the organic tools and techniques and everything, there's no research behind any of those things. And Epsom salts was specifically named, and I found an article that had been written where the writer had talked about a couple of research projects that are getting underway, have been underway for a while. Delaware Valley College in Pennsylvania and Auburn University both have some tests going using Epsom salts, which is magnesium sulfate, on plants. And it's early enough into the research that these two are doing that they're not seeing giant changes in yields yet, but the plants are healthier already. Greener leaves are not defoliating as much, and so what they're going to see long term is going to be really dramatic, and they're already seeing. And I'm sure they're not using a total organic program. I'm sure that that's the only thing that I would consider organic is Epsom salts. So that just kind of hit me. To talk about it more, yes, there is research about all this stuff. I started reading about it when I first started learning about it. The first book that I read was one of Albert Howard's books. He was an English botanist, and he lived in India and taught the people there how to make compost and increase their yields and their health tremendously. He's kind of the original godfather of using compost as the base for the program. And then Dr. William Albrecht was at the University of Missouri and was teaching soil health and wasn't totally hardcore organic, but he was teaching these wonderful techniques of building the soil health and increasing yields and production and everything. He was shown the door because a chemical company came in and offered Missouri a big grant. And as part of the deal, he had to go. The other guy, T.L. Sin, he's been on my show. It's been a long time. I hope he's still around. Clemson University did the research on seaweed and a lot of other related things. And the shorthand answer on this is that people that say that there's no research, they're just lazy. There's tons of research on all of these things. There's 17,000 studies on mycorrhizal fungus alone, and our friend Michael Amaranthus has been involved in a lot of those. It's all listed on our website under the research area, Texas Organic Research Center, and you can do a simple search on the web that anybody can do and find just tons of research on these natural organic techniques. So when somebody tells you there's not any research, raise your eyebrow and jingle the change in your pocket about what else they're telling you. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Much more right after this.